The reading this morning is in Philippians chapter 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. Verse 27. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way to those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. And the Lord bless to us the reading of his own word. Now, as I was telling you a couple of weeks ago, I don't really watch the rugby. And I didn't see it yesterday, although I would have been quite happy to watch it yesterday, but I couldn't watch it yesterday with something else on, okay? So I didn't see any of it really yesterday. But you know that Irish anthem, "Come the day and come the hour." How does he go? The power and the glory from all over Ireland. I paraphrase it, from all over. We're answering Ireland's call. Right? That's the verse. And then the chorus goes, Ireland. You can tell I'm not Irish, can't you? Ireland. Ireland. And here it is. Together, standing tall, shoulder to shoulder, we'll answer Ireland's call. It's powerful, isn't it? Really sort of, it doesn't do the same for me as the Welsh National Anthem, but but it is powerful. And it's almost like that really is the gist of the message that Paul is saying to the people here. And he's basically saying three things. He's reminding them of the faith of the gospel. Right into this church in Philippi, a church that he loves dearly. Remember the story of the birth of the Philippian church? There's Lydia down by the river. Lydia, a seller of purple, And they was having a little prayer meeting down by the riverside. And Paul joins that little group. And then there's the demon-possessed girl who's shouting after Paul, "We know who you are, we know what you're about." And how that life was dramatically changed when Paul came to her with the gospel. And then the jailer, despairing, this earthquake had destroyed the prison, and he thought all the prisoners had escaped, and he was charged with their safety, about to harm himself. And Paul shouting out in the night, at midnight, "Do yourself no harm, we are all here." And now that really strong, rough Philippian jailer's life was melted when he heard the gospel. And these people were the nucleus of this church, all so different and yet now joined together in this church in Philippi. Now the church had been blessed and grown. And Paul is writing to this church and he is reminding them basically of three things. And here's the first thing. Remember that this is a gospel church. This is a church that stands on the gospel of Jesus. That is the thing, that is the person that brings it all together. This is the foundation on which we stand. And he expounds that gospel through the letter, and particularly that portion we read at the beginning, how that Jesus, being in the very nature God, left heaven and came to earth, made himself a servant and became subject to death, even death on the cross. Died an amazing death. Why did he do it? He did it for us. He bore our wrath of God against sin that was due us. He became our substitute. He died in our room instead, so that through faith in him we can be free and that we can be forgiven. And that's the essence of the gospel. But it's more than that. It's now that you've been touched by this gospel, your lives should show this gospel and live a life that is worthy of the gospel. The faith of the gospel is not just simply hearing the message and believing it, but it's now living it. Day by day, living this gospel so that others can see the gospel in us. The faith of the gospel. James reminds us that faith without the evidence of it is really a sort of dead faith. It's no faith at all, really. Faith that doesn't change our lives and make a difference is not really faith at all. And Paul is reminding this church, he is saying, the faith of the gospel. That is what church is all about. And he's reminding this church that he loves. He says, "I have you in my heart. God knows how I long for you. I just long to be with you. And I don't know if it's going to be possible to come back to you or not. But be sure of this. I love you with the love of God. I love you." And it's true. It's no less true of Greystones Presbyterian Church than it is of the church in Philippi in the year 50-60 AD. In 2015, God would say the same things as he said there through his servant Paul to the Philippian church, as he would say to the church, this church in Greystones. "I love you. I have you in my heart. When I think of you, I rejoice." Isn't it amazing that God, when God thinks of this, he has joy in his heart. "I love you. I long to bless you. And I just want to remind you of this, that your life here as a community is all about the gospel. Never wander away from the gospel. Always bring it back to the gospel, the message of the gospel. And your life as a church and individually, they are to show forth the gospel. The second thing he wants us to really get hold of is the faith of the gospel, and then striving as one. In verse 5, he writes, verse 4, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And the second thing he's keen to emphasize here is not only remember your foundation, remember what church is all about. It's all about the gospel. But the second thing is this, your fellowship in the gospel. Paul could write to this church and he says, you've been true partners in the gospel with me. And church life is all about partnership. It's all about fellowship, about having something in common. You all know the word for fellowship is the Greek word koinonia, which means having things in common. And when we identify ourselves with this church, when we join together as a church, what we are basically giving testimony to the fact is we have this in common. We have this message, we have this understanding, we have this calling in common. We are joining together in almost like a covenant relationship. We belong to each other. We have this fellowship in the gospel. We have this bond that cements us all together. Paul wants to know that this church is going on in this fellowship, is united as one person. We sang in our song there, an army of ordinary people. And I don't know about you, but we feel so ordinary, don't we? Just ordinary people. But on the other hand, we are very special. We are brought together to be this amazing body of people in fellowship together. And what a beautiful thing it is to be in fellowship together. All so different, yes, but joined together. And Paul is writing to these people and he is saying, listen, treasure this fellowship. Constantly work at it. In chapter 4 of the letter, obviously, there's no perfect church. And Philippians, for as much as Paul loved this church, and he said, oh, every time I think of you, I thank God. I thank God that I know you. I thank God that I'm in partnership with you. But Philippians wasn't a perfect church. If you looked at chapter 4, he writes in and he is saying, I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Obviously, these two people were having a real ding-dong argument over something or other. And then he says, yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women. Oh, they were women. Help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. So these two characters, they were arguing, and yet they loved the Lord. They were contended for the sake of the gospel with Paul, and yet there was this difference. And it's the same in our church life. Genuinely, we we might love the Lord and we are working for the church, and yet there's disagreements. Yes, there will be differences. And the advice was, listen, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the church, oh, just put those differences to one side and agree with each other. Agree that you're going to go forward together in this wonderful fellowship of the Lord. Somebody has called these two people odious and so touchy. We can be pretty touchy about lots of things, can't we? Well, listen, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of this heavenly work we're involved in, agree with each other in the Lord. And then lastly, he mentions the faith of the gospel. He mentions in verse 5 the fellowship of the gospel. And in verse 12, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. So we've had the faith of the gospel. That's what we stand on. Our fellowship together. We are together in this gospel. And then the furtherance of the gospel. Striving together for the sake of the faith of the gospel. Pulling together, as we were thinking with the children, that together, on our own, we can only do so much. But together, we can pull together, striving together, pulling together for the furtherance of the gospel. Wrestling, that's the idea. You can't wrestle sort of half-heartedly, you know. You've got to put your full effort into it. And that's what Paul is saying here. Strive. As you join together, and as you plan together under the Spirit's leadership, and as you look together, well, put every effort into it. Don't be half-hearted. Strive. Pull. And together, we can achieve much more than the sum of all the individual little bits and pieces. So, as we come to next week, let's be excited about church. May the man who comes here find you a congregation of people who are really up for it.
They will, you can come if you want to.
We wouldn't do that anyway. Forgive me. But let us be a people that know what we stand on. That together we pull together. And yes, there'll be differences. But for the sake of the gospel, let us agree with each other. Don't let those little things, those little foxes come in and spoil. And let us further the gospel as we reach out. I was really encouraged last week in listening to the vision of doing things in the community, and whether it's people who are hungry or people who have no homes or people who are sick year and in other places. Together we can serve the Lord. May it be so, for his name's sake. Amen.